Today's Bible reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 26. So hopefully you can find Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 26 on your Bible apps or in your physical Bibles or even on Bible Gateway. Ooh, I forgot to ask whether there were slides. And if you would like a physical copy of a Bible, please put your hand up and the ushers and welcomers at the back will hand you a copy. Right, Mark chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a prayer of nations for all,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. How are you all? Good to see you here. Last Sunday, I told you that chapter 9 of Mark's Gospel, Jesus changed his focus from Galilee in the north to Judea in the south. And then chapter 10 last Sunday talks about the journey from Jerusalem. Today, chapter 11, they finally arrived in Jerusalem. They made it. So the focus of Jesus is actually not the city of Jerusalem, but the temple in the city. So therefore, from chapters 11 to 13, It will all be in and around the temple area. Jesus only had one more week to live. The end is very near. How would you and I feel if we knew that this week is our last week on earth? Let's pray before we see what happens next. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning to worship you together with other brothers and sisters. Thank you for our freedom, health, and opportunity to hear from your word. Father, we don't know how much longer you want each one of us here on earth. So please give us this sense of urgency to be more like your Son Jesus. Please speak clearly how you want us to change. Please help me also to be clear, interesting, and faithful to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Sunday morning, late March or early April, AD 30. It's springtime. The air is cool and fresh. It's Sunday, but on Friday, Jesus would be killed. It's also Passover time. This is a major Jewish festival when pilgrims come from all over the country and from outside the country to bring sacrifices and worship Yahweh at the temple. Not only Jews, but God-fearing Gentiles. Gentiles, non-Jews, who follow the Jewish religion. They all come to the festival in Jerusalem. Now, Chinese New Year is celebrated for 15 days. The Jewish Passover was celebrated for 7 days, following the teaching in Exodus 12. This passage today is a bit long, so please keep your Bibles open to Mark chapter 11. It starts with verse 1 that says that Jesus and his disciples arrived from Galilee and approached Jerusalem from the village of Bethany on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, about 3 kilometers east of Jerusalem. Verses 2 to 6 then tells how Jesus arranged for a colt, that is a young donkey, for him to ride as he enters Jerusalem. Passover is a noisy time, a busy time, with lots of pilgrims and visitors. And it is the custom at that time that the people who had already arrived in Jerusalem welcome the newcomers to Jerusalem. They do this by singing and spreading branches on the road as the newcomers enter the city. And this is what you see happen in verses 7 to 10. They shout, "Hosanna!" And they quoted from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now they would know this psalm very well, because they do that every year. They repeat that every year. And some people even threw clothes on the ground, verse 8. But what nobody seems to realize is that by doing these things, they are actually fulfilling Old Testament prophets of when the Messiah would enter Jerusalem. See, in 2 Kings 9, chapter 13, casting down garments for a person is hailing this person as a king. And in Zechariah 9, verse 9, that predicts the coming of a victorious king entering Jerusalem riding on a donkey, not a horse. But today, nobody seems to remember these prophecies. They just welcome Jesus as an ordinary person. Probably not many of the disciples have been to Jerusalem before. So after they arrived there, they had a quick look around the temple, etc. And they left. Because Passover is always a busy time, it was difficult to find accommodation in Jerusalem. And that's probably why Jesus and his disciples stayed at Bethany rather than in Jerusalem. Verse 11 says that since it was already late, he went out to Bethany. Because, of course, you don't want to walk 3 kilometers in the dark on an uneven road outside the city. So that was the wise thing to do. So that was the first day of the last week of Jesus' life. Now we come to another of Mark's sandwiches. Now you remember that Mark's writing style is often, he starts talking about something, before he finishes that, he talks about something else, and then he comes back to finish the first story. When you come across a Mark sandwich like that, pay attention to the filling in the middle, okay? That gives you the clue to understanding the whole passage. So here we have the first piece of bread, verses 12 to 14. The next day, it was Monday, leaving Bethany on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus saw a fig tree full of leaves. He looks for some fruit, but there are none, because it wasn't the season for figs. Now, this statement used to confuse me. It seems to me that it indicates Jesus is very unreasonable, right? You expect something when it's not the season for fruit. But actually what's happened is this. In Palestine, the fig trees produce small fruit buds in early spring before it produces leaves. Later on in summer, these fruit buds become fully grown fruit. But this tree has already got full of leaves, but no buds. So that means that this summer, this tree will not have any fruit. It is barren. It is useless. So then Jesus cursed the tree, saying, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." Then Mark stops the story about the fig tree and jumps to the filling of the sandwich, verses 15 to 19. And here he talks about what happens at the temple. Now, first we need to understand the crucial importance of the temple in the Jewish faith. You see, the temple is a symbolic place where the holy Almighty God lives amongst sinful people. The most important part of the temple is a room called the Holy of Holiest, or the most holy place. This is where Yahweh, God, lives. The entrance to this room is a very thick curtain. This is the curtain that was later torn from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. Only once a year does the high priest enter this Holy of Holiest place, and he can only do so after some elaborate cleansing ceremonies first. Only once a year he can do that. No one else can enter the Holy of Holiest, and he will die immediately if they do. Because no sinful person can stand in the presence of the Holy Almighty God. Now, outside this Holy of Holiest place is a court for Jewish women, and then a separate court for Jewish men. And outside that again is a much wider open space that you will see in the picture, and that is the court for the Gentiles. Gentiles can come in this open area, the Gentiles court, but there are signs all over the temple. If you enter the place for the Jewish men or women, we will kill you. So that's the only place where the Gentiles could come. Now, as I said, the Passover festival is a big festival of 7 days. And it focuses on offering animal sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. The court of Gentiles becomes a busy marketplace of buying and selling all sorts of animals for sacrifices. Obviously, it's too difficult for a pilgrim to come from far away bringing their own animal. And even if they did, the priests often reject the animal on the pretext of, oh, it's blemished, it's not perfect, you have to buy one here. So they have to buy a local animal to offer. And these people coming from far away, they have to change their money, foreign currency. Also, the temple tax can only be paid by one particular currency, and that is called the Tyrian shekel. So that's why there are money changers there. Of course, the foreigners get dudded by these exchange people. They get charged exorbitant exchange rates. All the merchants that are here pay a levy or a rent to the temple authorities. And guess what? The leaders, Jewish religious leaders, get a cut of this. So this has become a big financial enterprise, this Passover. Just to give you an idea how huge this business is, the Jewish historian Josephus said that in AD 66, when the temple upgrade was completed, people came and slaughtered 250,000 lambs. I can't even imagine what a temple would look like with all this blood. Must look like an abattoir or something, you know. 250,000 animals slaughtered there. So economically, it is as important as Christmas trading in Australia. The temple, therefore, has become a big business instead of a place to worship the Holy God. People have forgotten the original purpose of the temple. The temple should have been a place where sinful man can meet with the Holy God and sacrifice an animal for the forgiveness of their sins. Of course, the blood of animals cannot forgive our sins. And they actually knew that. It's only a symbol while they were waiting for God to send his lamb to be sacrificed on behalf of people's sins. And that will happen on Friday in 4 more days. But of course, they didn't know it at that time. The people forgot the original purpose of the temple. So the temple has become a busy shopping mall at Christmas time, the center of business. The temple became a money spinner, and the landlord are the religious leaders. And the worst affected people, obviously, were the Gentiles. All these merchants are in the court of Gentiles, depriving them of a quiet place to worship God. With all the animals around, it must have been noisy, dusty, and smelly. The temple should also be a house of prayer for all nations. But you have made it a den of robbers, Jesus said in verse 17. The religious leaders forgot that also. The reason God chose Abraham to start the new Jewish people is because Abraham was to be a blessing to other nations, not just for his own benefit, not just for himself and to enjoy. So Jesus arrives in this chaotic marketplace and he cleans it by overturning the tables, driving out the animal sellers in verse 15 and 16. And actually, in John's gospel, it's even more violent. He made a whip and drove them out. And then Mark comes back to the story of the fig tree. Here is the second slice of bread, verses 20 to 26. The following morning, it's Tuesday now, they walked again from Bethany to Jerusalem. They see the dead fig tree, and Peter remembers what happened yesterday. The fig tree withered from its roots, total withering. Jesus' curse was completely fulfilled. Why do you think Peter was surprised? Was it the speed in one day it withered? Or was Peter surprised because he didn't really believe that Jesus could do this? Maybe it's a bit of both. But anyway, Jesus gave them a lesson of faith in verse 22. He said, don't be surprised if you have faith. Even bigger things, like moving mountains, is possible. So let's step back now. What does this sandwich mean? It means two things. First, in the Old Testament, the fig tree is often a symbol of the nation of Israel. Now, I need to point out to you that the Israel that is mentioned in the Bible is not the same the nation of Israel that you read and hear about today in the news. Totally different. The Israel that God established originally through Abraham was established to be a blessing to other nations. But that did not happen, history tells us. They did not even care to give the Gentiles space in their court. So Mark tells us that Jesus curses the fig tree because it didn't produce fruit. It's finished. Similarly, the nation of Israel that you see in the news today is no longer the Israel through which the blessings to the world will come. That's finished. Christians are now the new Israel. We, you and I, are now given the task to be a blessing to other nations. You and I are now responsible to tell the world the good news that Jesus came to die and forgive our sins. So the fig tree is cursed and dead, withered to its roots. The nation of Israel is no longer needed in God's plan of salvation. The second meaning of the sandwich is this. The fig tree is also a symbol of the temple, the focus of the Jewish faith. Unlike other religions, there is only ever one Jewish temple anywhere. You know, the Hindus have temples all over the world. And so did the Buddhists, temples all over the world. But there was only ever one Jewish temple at any time in history, anywhere in the world, and that was in Jerusalem. That was the place where sinful man can meet the holy God. But Jesus cleansed the temple, and he cursed the fig tree that represented it. Notice that Jesus did not prune the fig tree, okay? He did not try to cultivate it or repair it, but he killed it. Similarly, the cleansing of the temple is not meant as a repair job or to improve the worship service. No, it was meant as a sign that the temple will also be removed, done away with completely, or killed, if you like. Physically, this happened in AD 70. After the Jewish uprising, the Roman Empire came down hard under the Caesar Vespasian, entered Jerusalem, and destroyed the whole temple in AD 70. That temple has never been rebuilt until now. The tree withered to its roots. So this shows the fulfillment of Jesus' prophetic action. The Jewish temple is no longer needed in God's plan of salvation. In summary, the fig tree is dead. Israel and the temple are no longer needed in God's plan for salvation. So what's the application for us now? What's the lessons? The first lesson is, Jesus is now the new temple through which we approach God directly. We don't need animal sacrifices or a priest entering the Holy of Holies through a thick curtain. When Jesus died, that thick curtain was torn from top to bottom. That means that now, we sinful people can come directly into the presence of the only holy almighty God. Isn't that an amazing privilege? Anybody, sinful as we are, can now come direct in front of the holy God because Jesus has died for our sins, because the perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed. So anyone who believes this and accepts Jesus' sacrifice can now approach God directly. We no longer need to go to Jerusalem. We don't need to go to Mecca. We don't need to go to the Vatican. We no longer need a priest or a pastor or Mother Mary to pray for us. We can go direct to the Holy God. That is all by grace, not because we have done anything or deserve anything. So my question is, brothers and sisters, have you received this wonderful free gift of forgiveness? If you're here and you haven't, may today be the day you do that and get forgiveness from God. Don't try to cling to another temple. Don't try to be accepted by God through another way. There is no other way. Jesus is the new temple through whom anybody can come to God. The second lesson is then to ask, what fruit does Jesus expect? From the fig tree, obviously, Jesus expects figs. What does he expect from us? Well, there are many other passages that talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but from this passage, we learn the following things. As the new Israel, we Christians are tasked to bring fruit of new believers. We must be a blessing to other nations. Abraham was not chosen by God just to enjoy God's blessing, but he was to be a blessing to the nations. Similarly, we are not blessed with grace and eternal life just for our own enjoyment, but we in turn need to be a blessing to others around us. How then should we live? Well, from this passage, one of the things that Jesus expects is a life of faith in God, verse 21. And this is shown by a life of prayer, verse 24, and also forgiveness, verse 25. If that is what Jesus expects from us, we better consider how much time we spend in prayer with him. Remember, prayer is not just coming to God to ask for things and to treat him like Santa Claus. Prayer is also spending time with him, talking to him about anything, praying, praising, thanking him. And as we spend more time with him and draw closer to him, our faith will also grow. So try praying in the mornings before you go and at night before you go to sleep. If you are married, why don't you pray with your spouse and get into a habit of sharing with one another in front of God? It will strengthen your marriage and will draw you closer to God. If you have children, pray with them and teach them from a young age to talk to God. If you are not married, how about looking for a partner, prayer partner, supporting each other and keeping each other accountable? And in verse 23-24, Jesus says that when we pray, ask in faith. Make sure that what we ask for is in line with what God's will is, and therefore it will be granted to us. Remember, not any mountain will move when we pray. It's only the mountains that is in God's will to be moved. And while we pray, Jesus tells us to forgive other people. Verse 25. Often we find it difficult to forgive others who have done the wrong thing, especially when they have done or said something behind our back. We keep remembering that, and it's difficult for us to forgive them. But the closer we are to God, the easier it is to forgive others. So let us not hang on to grudges, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, let us learn to let go and forgive. One of the fruits Jesus expects from us is to be forgiving people. And a new year is a good place to start. So in conclusion, the barren fig tree was cursed. The useless temple was destroyed. What about us? Where are the figs in our lives? Let us not be like that fig tree, full of promising leaves, looking good as a Christian from far off. But when you get closer, there is no fruit, only leaves. It is just show. May we start this new year producing fruit in abundance. Let's now spend a few moments to reflect on what God is saying to us individually. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is our new temple and that we can come directly to you as we are doing right now. Please help us this week to live a life with fruit that pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Homework. You know, this morning somebody came to me and said, I did my homework last week. It was a real encouragement to me. And I hope there are many more amongst you who didn't tell me that, but actually you did the homework. So this is what we need to do for this coming week. What other temples do we cling to? Just think about that. And pray more this week. Thirdly, identify one person whom you need to forgive. And finally, carefully read the whole of chapter 12 for next week in two different translations. Have a good week, everyone. Thank you.